Hey, everybody. You know, Mark and I have over 20 years of experience as therapists and as addicts in long-term successful recovery. We know better than anyone what works and what doesn't to break out of porn and sex addiction, heal betrayal trauma, and reclaim your relationship.
And we've poured all of our personal and professional recovery and healing experience into a first-of-its-kind program for addicts, spouses, and couples. We call it Dare to Connect.
At least four times every week, we engage with you in real time, in the trenches, giving you the knowledge and the tools to take back your life and relationship.
Whatever else you've done on your journey for healing and recovery, you've never done anything like this.
You know, Mark and I, we've made all the mistakes, so you don't have to. Don't reinvent the wheel.
We all know tomorrow never comes. Look, don't wait one more day to change. Claim your free two-week trial today at daretoconnectnow.com.
Morning, good afternoon, and good evening, everybody. Welcome to the PBSC podcast. Steve Moore here, along with Mark Castleman. It's great to be with you guys as we jump into episode 202 today. The title of today's episode is the following: Have I been betrayed? I have been betrayed by so many men. What steps can I take going forward to not be hurt again? Great topic. And then the topic is actually based off of a really good submission by a partner out there who, obviously we always keep names confidential, but we so appreciate her reaching out with this question. It's a great one because today's topic is going to involve concepts that we touch on fairly frequently, but put it through a very different lens of, I think, any episode we've ever done, which 202 episodes in is kind of hard to do these days. So anyway, I'll just kind of summarize it. The submission was pretty lengthy, but this is what she says. Essentially, she told us this. She's a woman. She's now on her. Let's put it this way. She basically references a lot of past trauma from men in her life from three specific sources. The first was from her father, both with things that happened in childhood as well as in adulthood. Followed by a marriage, by a marriage that was 28 years long. Mm-hmm. In which she was betrayed sexually through pornography, sexual addiction, the stuff that we talk about here on the podcast all the time. And then the same thing actually happened in a 15 and a half year relationship that she was just came out of following her marriage that was also plagued with pornography use, sexual addiction, and issues like that. And the trauma that she experienced on the father's side doesn't just incorporate issues around neglect and abuse from her childhood. She actually references that there's a lot of sexual trauma there as well, with some really coarse remarks that he's made over the years that have been very damaging to her and kind of given insight into his mentality around sex and women and things like that. They've clashed on that a number of times. But then also, apparently, she found out that her own father was actually supplying her former husband with pornography at one point in time as well in the marriage behind her back. So mm-hmm. Even as we just iterate this, it makes us mildly ill because this is clearly a lengthy, over 40-year history of trauma at the hands of men involving sexuality of one form or another and trust. And so basically her question is the following. What steps can I take to ensure, now that I'm out of that last relationship, that I don't add a fourth traumatic man to my life, essentially? Yeah. How do I make my next relationship not be another in the string of all of this trauma, lying, deception, and sexual betrayal? Because I need the next one to be right. So that's the topic for today.
Yeah. And man, as we read this, her submission, our hearts really go out to her. You know, one of the things that you mentioned, Steve, before we were starting to record that I absolutely resonated to, it is amazing that she wrote into us, two guys, right, in long-term successful recovery from sex and porn addiction and betrayal. She actually says that she's listened to pretty much all of our podcasts multiple times. And we applaud her for having her stuff together enough to be willing to listen to two men
talk. It's absolutely incredible.
I mean, it's miraculous that
it really is
that she would do that. So we're just deeply impressed with where she's at already.
To be able to do that and to be able to retain an openness to that. I mean, Mark and I have been doing this for a long time, and we have worked with more than one partner where, with a far less of a traumatic background, if we're just talking about on paper, many women have reached that point of, if you have male genitals, you can take a long walk off a short cliff. Right. I'm not interested in anything you have to offer, be it even a hello at the grocery store, much less a podcast. So thank you for your trust, and all of you who I know, we all know, carry different degrees of betrayal, for tuning in each week. We're glad that you find this to be helpful.
Yeah. All the partners listening, we feel deeply humbled that you show up here, and it's pretty amazing, all of it. Well, let's jump into answering her question, Steve.
Yeah.
This is not something new to us. Steve and I, in our own therapy work over a couple of decades, we have had many, many, many women come to us with this same heartfelt yearning. I am so spent and exhausted and tired and done with these kinds of relationships. How do I have any hope going forward where this does not get repeated again? I don't have another one in me like these past ones.
Absolutely. Well, and as we're getting ready for this today, you know, our again, with all the empathy in the world, we want to make sure we set both this listener, but also all of you who maybe find yourselves in similar circumstances, or because again, right, trauma is relative, and you don't have to be doing relationship number four like this woman is to find yourself in need of the content we're going to talk about today. Because there's obviously a lot going on here for this woman, and relationships are always a risk, right? And that's the hard reality about relationships. Intimacy is a risk. The degree to which we are vulnerable and open ourselves up to somebody else is the degree to which we can be hurt. Yeah. And that's just a truth about relationships, and it's also why so many people oftentimes talk about intimacy and love, but few, comparatively speaking, I think, ever really understand what that means in their lifetime, because there are so many different layers to what that can look like. And so when it comes to that, we do have some thoughts, and we wanted to break down today's episode into two main parts. Okay. The first is going to be, let's talk about the work to be done when it comes to one's own world. That would be a great place for this partner and other partners who find themselves in this place to start before jumping into another relationship. And then the second piece is, we want to end the podcast today by covering some basic guidelines or healthy expectations, as well as their kind of attached red flags that you'll want to avoid that would be applicable to anybody. Okay. Obviously, everybody's expectations in a relationship are going to be unique, but we did want to give you at least some baseline ones just to kind of get the juices flowing as we leave you here today. So we're excited to jump on in. So with that, we'll jump on in. So,
say something. I want to make sure, because if I was a guy listening to this particular podcast and I had read the title and I just heard Steve give the introduction, I would be tempted to tune out. Oh, great. Hmm. This is going to be a podcast for women, for partners, about how to avoid me. Right. And so I would very easily tend to write it off as not applicable. I might even get a little bit defensive about it or so forth. But guys, if you're listening to this podcast, please, please, please open your minds and your hearts, because we are going to talk about things, number one, that are going to apply to each of you guys listening for your own personal work. This doesn't just apply to the women that we're going to talk about, the personal work side. And as we also talk about the guidelines for having healthy expectations in relationships, if you guys want to learn how to have a successful relationship, listen in on what we're about to, about what we're about to teach. This is not for women only. Please don't write this off, guys.
No, absolutely. No, it's a great, great caveat to throw there at the beginning. Well, let's talk about these different areas. We got three areas when it comes to the self-work, self-improvement that we'd recommend here for this partner. And again, for any of you who find yourself in a similar place. And the first of those would be definitely getting a handle on some work on the trauma healing and recovery piece to this.
Mm-hmm.
We've talked about obviously trauma on this podcast a lot, but for those who have never heard us describe, if we delve into kind of the clinically licensed side of things, and I go to my training for a second, what we're talking about here today is definitely a case of very complex trauma, right? When we discern between simple and complex trauma, the key indicator between the two of those is simple trauma is usually identified as kind of a singular event or a series of closely related events in the same instance that kind of creates this one traumatic event. And even though it is huge and extensive and needs to be worked through depending on what it is, it's kind of a standalone thing. Complex trauma is where we have a series of events that may or may not be externally related, but that the brain begins to link together as a string of truths in terms of what it recognizes as patterns in relationships or out of relationships that create a complex trauma dynamic thinking where a person is starting to, for lack of a better term, the trauma messages that are received from complex trauma become more deeply ingrained because they're being imprinted over and over again, right? So kind of think like when I was a kid, we used to do like leather work in crafts, like in school. You know, those little stamps that you'd use for leather when you'd make the leather wet, use a little stamp to put something in it. It's kind of like, you know, you do a leather stamp and you'd hit it with a little hammer to make an imprint. That would be simple trauma. Complex is where you pound it like seven times to where it almost stamps out through the leather, right?
Or remember when you were a kid and, you know, you'd be on the ground at the park and somebody would jump on top of you, right? That was a little bit of uncomfortable weight. And then kids would do what they call pile on.
Sure.
Instead of got one kid on top of you, you've got, you know, nine kids on top of you.
Absolutely. Or you get picked, saying, using the same analogy, you're getting picked on every day, right? You get tackled every day at recess. What happens over time? If you get tackled at recess one time, brain says, whoa, that's not good. It may take some steps. You may make some changes, but then you generally speaking, the capacity might be for one to move on quicker than as opposed to, let's say this has been going on for 2 weeks and I get, you know, made fun of at recess every day. What are you going to start doing? Avoiding recess.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. You're going to start finding ways to get out of going to recess or gym or whatever it is. So it's important to recognize this is definitely a very complex trauma situation. This woman has literally over 40 years of evidence to state, among other things, what? The following. Men are not safe. They're not to be trusted. At the end of the day, you're going to be valued more for your body than you are for who you are as a person.
Mm-hmm.
Sexuality, kind of as a tie to that, takes precedence over other forms of worth, right? And I could just go on, but these are all going to be messages that anybody who had gone through these kinds of things are going to be very much carrying around as quote unquote those leather stamps in the brain that they're kind of working through. So
yeah,
so finding a professional as well as a really good set of supports to be able to work on that is, I would say, in a situation like this, would definitely be recommended. There are lots of different modalities out there when it comes to therapy. We've talked about different forms like EMDR on eye movement desensitization and reprocessing, right, is what EMDR stands for. Lifespan integration therapy. Traditional cognitive behavioral approaches are good too. There are a lot of different modalities, but involving a third-party professional in working through this, as well as the trauma messages and everything else that has come as a result of that, would be a really good starting point to begin making sure that you've got a good handle on the issues surrounding the trauma and have a good start into the healing journey from that trauma, so that you're able to then take on these next couple of steps when it comes to the self-work that we're going to talk about. So in this particular case, we would definitely say some sort of professional intervention would be great.
Yeah, because if you don't do the trauma work and the healing, at least getting a good ways into that, you'll not be able to do these more, I would call them advanced approaches with yourself that we're going to talk about.
Well, and then the future relationships in tandem, the chances of kind of having a quote-unquote relapse where you find yourself in a similar dynamic are off the charts.
Yep. It's going to get your brains, the trauma, the unhealed traumatized brain's not going to allow you to get into, quite frankly, a healthy relationship.
Correct.
Yeah. As you and I were talking about this, Steve, one of the things that really jumped out at us big, and we cannot enunciate this enough, is with this dear woman and all those that we work with who share this past betrayal and trauma, is this whole concept of self-love, self-compassion, right? Self-worth.
Yeah.
And that right along with the trauma work is that this is at the top of the list, right? You said before we started recording today that the degree to which you love you is really to the degree to which you can love others. That the degree of the healthy relationship that you have with yourself is a direct doorway and reflection of whether you're going to be able to have a healthy relationship with someone else.
Yes.
And so this self-love and self-compassion work is critical, right? This gal, right? What do we try to always put emphasis on, right? She did not cause these traumatic relationships, right? She didn't deserve them. She certainly was not able to change these men and fix them, right? So she was put into this place of this betrayal, this unfair, unjust, right? Not equally yoked or positioned. And now you can, when you're put into that place over, as you said, 40 years, you get into the place easily where your own self-worth, your own self-image, it just starts to be broken down, right? It can't help but suffer in all of this. You start to doubt yourself. Who am I? I mean, all of these years and all of these men, maybe this is me. Maybe I don't deserve to be treated right or well. Maybe I can't be loved, right? These are things that this trauma and this abuse create.
Absolutely. Well, and just being able to we oftentimes on our Dare to Connect program, we talk about this concept of accurate account dash ability.
Yes.
Right? And among other things, what we're referring to when we talk about that in the program is one, cultivating and developing out an acute awareness of both your strengths and weaknesses, right? Mm-hmm. Assets and deficits, and that you're able to embrace all those and to love and find worth in yourself, incorporating all of that into one whole.
Yes.
So, and that is definitely a way that differentiates from many of the, I guess you could, how would I say this, the more simplistic approaches to like self-love. This goes way deeper than just looking in the mirror and telling yourself you're awesome, right? Or giving yourself a hug every day, right? True, accurate accountability means being able to develop love with oneself, not because we've trained ourselves just to look at all these good qualities about us that are real or imagined. It's the process of being able to practice a level of mindfulness and self-awareness paired with self-compassion. It creates this place where we are able to show up and say, yeah, these, again, are my strengths. These are the things that are weaknesses for me. But all of these things put together and combined they make up the whole me that is Steve, and Steve is worth loving.
Right? Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we talk about, often this is not thought about, but getting to the place where I can unconditionally love and accept myself. Unconditionally love and accept myself, right? I'm lovable because I am. I'm acceptable because I am. Now, does that not mean I want to work on myself and over time transform and evolve into higher versions of myself? Of course not. But those things don't determine whether I'm lovable or acceptable.
Yeah, we just a couple of weeks ago in D2C, somebody asked the question, you know, how do I know when I'm ready for a relationship?
Mm-hmm.
We hear that a lot from clients, like in our clinics and things. You know, how do I know when I'm ready for a relationship? And the answer to that is, it kind of sounds like something you knit on a pillow, and we can't talk about it today because we've covered in other episodes. But you know, you're ready for a new relationship when you don't need a relationship.
I know.
When you get to that point where you found enough love and acceptance with yourself that you want to share that amazing person with another person, and you've already found ways to find, you know, fulfillment within your own life and your own purpose and things, that's when we find people are most optimally ready than to say, look, I'm an amazing person. I'm going to find another amazing person and we're going to do like psychotically kick-ass things together. Right. I mean, that's what we're looking for. That's how real non-codependent relationships function. So that's what we're shooting for.
Yeah. It's not because I need this person or I'm desperate to have them or I'm not okay if I don't, you know, establish a relationship. I'm okay just like I am. I'm independent. I'm sovereign. I'm awesome. And now I want to find somebody else to collaborate with and to cooperate with. Not because I need it, but because I want it. I desire it. One of the things, you know, Steve, you and I talked about that is critical here as well is this whole area of boundary work. And we could do like 10, in fact, we have done a series of podcasts over time on boundaries. Boundaries are huge. So if once you've developed this level of self-love and self-worth that's independent of another person, how do you then translate that into tangible, realistic, verifiable boundaries that are a direct reflection of that self-love and that confidence and that sovereignty, right? If you're going to engage in a relationship with another person, what have we often said? A successful, loving relationship is always a boundaried relationship. Always.
Yep.
So becoming really good at this boundaries area if you're going to go into a relationship, right? And here's the deal. You don't wait till you're in a relationship to then start establishing boundaries.
Ideally, it happens beforehand.
It happens. You know what those boundaries are going to be before you even consider entering into a relationship, and they're crystal clear. Here is exactly what I expect of a partner, of a future partner, right? Before I'm going to become emotionally and romantically involved, here are my boundaries, and I know what they are.
Absolutely.
Very important.
No, I mean, we're talking about this in Dare to Connect right now. It's Betrayal Trauma Month. We're doing a whole... Well, it's not betrayal. It's the second month of betrayal.
It's the second month. Yes, it is.
The program is a live interactive one, as many of you have heard about it know. And so we originally planning on just doing a month of it. But after feedback from our subscribers, we decided to double up and make it two. And so we've been going through what we call the language of relationship repair and renewal. And we just talked about this in our addict session today, right? The need for addicts on their side of the street as they're going through and they're trying to provide safety, for example, in the betrayal trauma recovery process. Probably the only thing worse that you can do in betrayal trauma work as an addict, besides causing trauma, is doubling down on the trauma. And one of the ways that oftentimes happens is in a place of pain or a place of wanting to rescue or whatever the case we may find ourselves in, we will sometimes look at our spouses, and because we don't have crystal clear boundaries, we will agree to things or set up things that are not authentic, not realistic, mm-hmm. and therefore we are setting the relationship up for failure, right?
Yeah.
When a husband is going into that discussion, and that just applies just like on this side for you individually, before you go into that discussion with another person where you're going to be navigating anything, whether it's a new relationship or setting new expectations or whatever it is, you need to know realistically what's authentic for you to be able to give and not.
Yes.
So that you don't further complicate things by agreeing to or signing up for something that you're going to have buyer's remorse on, right?
Yeah, exactly. So. Yeah, that you can't or won't do. Yeah, exactly. Yes. Well, okay. The other side of this is we talked about, so what are some guidelines for healthy expectations or red flags as part of seeking a future relationship, right? You, first of all, you, every one of you listening, you are worth having specific certain expectations in relationships. You're absolutely worth it. You deserve it. You've got to have it. And so you don't have to settle, right? Any relationship that you're going to consider going into, you must have clear expectations and boundaries. And Steve and I talked about what we would put at the top of the list as to what those should be. And this gal, Steve, the very first one on our list was?
Well, it's definitely it's going to be honesty and transparency, but not perfection, right?
There you go.
So real quick story. This thing's going way over time already, so I'm going to keep this really fast. But I, years ago, helped a client navigate divorce following betrayal. And she was in the process of getting back into dating. We worked together for quite some time. And we sat down and had this very conversation. So admittedly, I'm a little bit passionate about this. So When we talk about honesty and transparency, both in requesting it as well as giving it, that's what we mean. So when she set up a dating profile, because she got on one of these dating sites, or I think actually a couple of them, we sat down together and talked about what would be healthy to put into it. Do you know what she put as the very first thing? Because she came out of a relationship that had been, basically it ended because he refused to work on the pornography, the sexual addiction component, and it ended up, that's why it ended. So, and he would never talk about it. So her very first bullet point in like all caps at the top, you would think how weird this would be to see in a thing for most people.
In a dating profile, right?
Yeah, it literally said, do not reach out or contact me unless you are prepared to discuss your history with pornography, what impact it's had in your life, and what you are currently doing to work on it if there is an issue. That was her very first bullet. It wasn't about this is my hair color or what, or I like long walks on the beach. It was, you need to come into, I am only interested in a relationship with somebody who is able to own their stuff.
Mm.
And if you can't own your stuff, I am worth somebody who can own their stuff because I've done the work to own my stuff.
Yes.
And yes. So I don't even, if you can't come and be vulnerable about that topic, I'm not even, we aren't even going out. So,
because we just spent the majority of this podcast on helping all of you to do your own personal work. If you're going to go into a future relationship, you're looking for someone who also has done their personal work.
Absolutely.
Not just you, but what have they done?
That's the reflection of the self-worth, right? Mm-hmm. I'm looking for someone else who has also taken the time to do these things.
And you asked a great question, Steve. One of the things you said you would have a partner ask in considering a relationship, one of the very first things, do you love yourself and why or why not?
Those are the guys.
Ask someone that?
This is a first meeting discussion, guys. This is what I would recommend. Right. And keep in mind, when we say these questions, you're gauging two things for you ladies who are taking notes on this. If you were to ask these questions on a first date, you're not just gauging their responses. What are you gauging, which is just as important? Their capacity for vulnerability and transparency.
That's right.
Going back to what this partner, this woman is needing. Again, there's that needs to be that self-work, but there also needs to be greater filtering discernment to make sure that the other person is ready to roll. Yeah. I've done my stuff. I've put in the work. I've served my nickel, as a client once told me, right? And I'm looking for somebody else who has served theirs too. Like I want this to work, and I want them to be able to meet me on equal terms. So they got to be able to talk about that. Another example of that, right? What are your expectations in a relationship? What are you looking for in a partner? You asking him.
Yes.
A guy who's really serious about dating on command should be able to answer that question in a deep way. And it needs to go beyond female genitalia and a pair of breasts, being candid with you. Like, it needs to be, I want these things. I'm looking for someone emotionally who is this way, right? You're never going to be able to cultivate a healthy relationship with somebody who hasn't dialed in on what they are also seeking, right? If they have an accurate sense of self-worth, then they should have an accurate idea of what those needs are too.
Yeah. And right in concert with that is, has he worked to develop his skill set with overall intimacy?
Yes.
Right? Into Absolutely. Me you see, into you I see. And we don't just mean sex when we say intimacy, right? We've often talked about the eight areas of intimacy. How skilled is this person because they practiced it? Are they at being an intimate partner in all of its aspects? Right? Another really important, how self-aware is this person? Can he be vulnerable? Is he good at vulnerability? Is he good at being transparent about the good, the bad, the ugly, and all of him?
Can he talk about uncomfortable topics?
Yeah.
I'll be the one to put myself out here. Talk about like sexual maturity. I don't think I could even say masturbation out loud in front of somebody till I was like 25. That's a problem.
Yes.
Right? Like, I need to be able to have a sense of, you know, adultness about me and a maturity around these topics to be able to, again, having done this work, right? The last thing that we want to be doing is setting a relationship up for failure when we're, and it's not to say that somebody who can't do those things is bad. Okay. Can we just be clear about that? To all you guys listening, that's not that that's a bad thing. What it means though, is that you need to be finding somebody that you can equally pair with to set the relationship up for success. Right. If one of you is emotionally 45 and the other one is emotionally 20, can the relationship work? Yeah. Is it likely to work? No. So it's important that we're just realistic with those things, that we're all very much on the same page, so that we can make intelligent decisions and not set ourselves up for more of that hurt, more of that pain.
And please don't misunderstand us. It also doesn't mean that if you have mistakes and poor choices and even addictions and all kinds of other things in your past, it doesn't mean that you're automatically eliminated from the pool of being a future partner with someone.
Oh, not at all.
It doesn't mean that at all.
Can I be really frank real quick? I know we're kind of getting over time here, but just to demonstrate this, Brittany and I were talking about this not just a little while, not even that long ago. We're looking at having kids right now. And obviously you all know that Steve here and Mark were both really, really in open, right, about our time and our background in addiction. I've told Brittany multiple times that when our daughter, if we have a daughter, starts dating, I'm going to ask him specifically, not if, what exposure have you had to pornography and what does that look like? Because I will tell you hands down, from where I sit today, I would be so much more comfortable with my daughter dating somebody who comes in and says, look, Mr. Moore, here's the deal. I've had this struggle. This is when it started. These are the things that I've learned so far. Here's the things I'm doing to work on it, right? And here's what I have in place to continue to work on it. As opposed to the guy that shows up at my house like Mr. Flashy, never had a problem in the world, tries to pull the wool over my eyes, is like, Mr. Moore, pornography? What's that word? I've never even heard that before. I don't know what you're referring to. That guy, I'm going to kick to the curb as a father, because we both know he's bullshitting me.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. I want my daughter to be with somebody who isn't weakness free. I want her to be with somebody who has a handle on, a grasp on, and an awareness and willingness to work on weaknesses.
Right? Yeah. And finishing up, having said that, Steve, if I'm going to get into a relationship, you know, or anyone listening, ask this person, what were your biggest failings in your past relationships? And what role did you play in all of that? And what specifically have you been doing since to grow and mature so that the outcomes in the future will have a great chance to be different?
He should be able to take ownership of those things. Now, that doesn't mean he ended it or anything, but it almost always takes two to tango, right, in a relationship. Mm-hmm. And if his attitude or hers, because this could apply either way, right? We recognize this is, you know, you can flip sexes here. But if his or her attitude is, well, they were just such a blankety blank and that's why it ended, that is a problem.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it doesn't mean that they weren't a blankety blank, but where are your failings on that side, right? Where's that self-awareness? Where's that insight into, here are the things that, yeah, I wasn't the fire, but I definitely may have been the gasoline at times, right? Where's your part in it? So,
again,
anyway,
comes back to where we started: honesty, transparency, accountability. Totally. Right? Owning my side of the street, all of these things.
All right. Well, so much for keeping this short. We blew that all to hell. So sorry about that, guys. Thank you for hanging with us for the extended episode again. We are really going to get back to these being shorter. As you can tell, Mark and I are just super passionate about this. Speaking of passionate, Dare to Connect. If you're not in Dare to Connect, if you haven't tried to Dare to Connect, lovingly get your ass in there. Okay. We would love to have you come in for a 2-week trial. Please give it a shot. We get real, we get raw, as you can see, for better or worse. Life is too short, therapy's too expensive, and trauma is too painful to try to reinvent the wheel on this stuff. You got two guys who run this podcast, who run a program, who have done all that for you. Take a road smoother traveled. You don't need to do the gravel nonsense that we did.
Yeah, please.
Come give it a 2-week trial. It's not a fit for everybody. We know that. But if you like the podcast, you will love the program. Come on over, 2-week trial, daretoconnectnow.com. You can pick up your free trial there. We'd love to have you there.
All right, everybody. Thanks for being with us. And we'll pick things back up in our next episode.
And as always, if you have questions you'd like addressed on the podcast, please do feel free to send those into us at pbscpodcast.com.
Yes. Okay,
there we go.
We go.
Have a great one, everybody. Bye-bye. Everything expressed on the PBSC podcast are the opinions of the hosts and the participants and is for informational and educational purposes only. This podcast should not be considered mental health therapy or as a substitute thereof. It is strongly recommended that you seek out the clinical guidance of an individual qualified mental health professional. If you're experiencing thoughts of suicide, self-harm, or a desire to harm others, please dial 911 or go to your nearest emergency room.